This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Wednesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We're seeing sunshine today and temperatures up into the mid-70s right now. It's already 70 degrees at O'Hare.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, we have gains. The Dow up 116 points or 0.5%. NASDAQ gaining almost 1% or 73 points and moving back above 7,800. The S&P on the advance by 17 points to 2,851. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is also fractionally higher, so we reversed earlier losses on news that President Trump will delay a decision to impose car tariffs by up to 6 months. He's threatened to slap penalties of up to 25% on imported cars and parts. That would mostly hit some European car makers, so they saw their shares improve after that report. American shoppers were not as quick to spend money last month as they were the month before. After an upwardly revised 1.7% rise in March retail sales, in April, they unexpectedly contracted by 0.2 when a 0.2 gain had been forecast. When you take out car and gas station sales and business at other retailers also showed a drop of 0.2%. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. We continue with our Education Week here on WBBM. All kinds of information about the next step in your schooling. And also, we're looking at Macy's, which is really still in the game.
Yeah, quite a turnaround for Macy's. In addition, for Education Week, we'll be talking about negotiating college tuition. You actually can negotiate that down at times. And sports betting, it may be legal soon in Illinois. And could you do it at Chicago sports stadiums? All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Education Week on the Noon Business Hour. We'll discuss community college opportunities in our next segment. Right now, a busy day of data led by the latest numbers on retail sales and reports on manufacturing. We are joined by Gus Fauché, chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. And welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Gus, what are the numbers telling us today?
Yeah, the numbers were a little bit soft. So we saw retail sales fall 0.2% in April, and then they were down 0.2% excluding autos and gasoline. So that means that consumer spending got off to a slow start in the second quarter. And then industrial production fell by a half of a percent in April. So it looks like manufacturing is looking a little bit softer in the spring as well. So not very encouraging. That being said, I still think the fundamentals are solid, and we'll see the economy continue to expand in the middle of 2019.
And what about the impact of the auto tariffs? Tariffs still arguing?
Yeah, obviously these numbers do not include the tariffs, either the increased tariffs that were imposed on China or the proposed auto tariffs. You know, it looks like that the Trump administration is taking a breather on proposed auto tariffs, which I think is good news for consumers, people who are looking to buy a car. You know, the situation obviously remains unsettled with China. Tariffs are going to increase costs for American consumers and discourage spending on other goods and services. So I think that tariffs are likely to be a net negative for U.S. economic growth in the second quarter of 2019.
Now, is there, and I guess it's sort of tough to figure this out, but is there on balance maybe more things that might be manufactured in the United States, more things that could perhaps be purchased from other countries? I mean, what's the dynamic shift like when a trade war like this heats up?
Yeah, I mean, obviously this will increase the prices of goods produced in China relative to those produced either in the United States or in abroad, although China to some extent can offset that by reducing the value of their currency. So this will encourage domestic production. It will encourage production in countries other than China. That being said, you know, for some of these goods, it's difficult for U.S. manufacturers. They may not be produced in the United States yet. Manufacturers may be reluctant to invest in production. production if they don't know what the tariffs are going to look like in the future. So I think we're generally going to see higher prices, and that we'll continue to import many of these goods from China just at a higher cost to American businesses and consumers.
Yeah, it's not like there's a bunch of factories sitting there where all you do is flip a switch and they start producing things.
That's right. A lot of these goods aren't produced in the United States. It would cost a lot of money to start up production here, and businesses are going to be reluctant to undertake that investment if they don't, if they think that the tariffs are going to go away in 3 months.
And I see here there's one person who says that he would be expecting a big decline in auto output.
I'm not quite sure what to make of that. I think that we have seen consumers cut back a little bit on auto purchases this year. We've had four very strong years of auto sales in the United States. So I think consumers perhaps may not need to buy as many new cars as they bought in recent years. We'll have to see what goes on with the proposed tariffs on auto imports. But, I do think that the fundamentals remain good for auto sales, just not as strong as what we've seen in, roughly 2014 through 2018.
Thanks for the insight, Gus Fauché, chief economist at PNC Financial Services, based in Pittsburgh. Coming up, Education Week continues with the Chancellor of the City Colleges of Chicago.
News that makes you money. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Education Week on the Noon Business Hour. In this segment, we're looking at an alternative to a four-year school. Education Week is sponsored by St. Xavier University. Juan Salgado is joining us, Chancellor of the City Colleges of Chicago. Juan, thanks for being here. We want to get into specifically some of the things that City Colleges of Chicago are doing. But in general, let's talk generally. Community colleges, are they, because of cost, offerings, maybe the ability to offer some alternative programs, are you seeing more and more people starting off in community college before maybe going on to a four-year school?
Yes, well, I appreciate you having me on, and we are absolutely seeing more and more students choose community colleges in general across the United States, and especially in Chicago. We offer a quality, affordable education. A full-time load at City Colleges is $1,752 for a full-time student. That includes books and fees. It also comes with a transportation U-Pass so that you can get around our city. And so we offer programs in many different career fields, and some of those are associate's degrees that transfer on to four-year universities, but some of them are certifications that lead directly to a job. And so, we really, in many respects, offer something for everyone who's interested in an education and furthering their career.
So you're talking about if someone is going to go on to a four-year school, they ultimately want a bachelor's degree, spending 2 years, City Colleges of Chicago. I mean, you're talking potentially tens of thousands of dollars in savings for, and at the end of the day, you end up with your bachelor's degree by the time you're done.
Yes, and what we're finding, too, is that four-year universities are eager to take our students. Half of our graduates go on immediately to four-year universities, and they do very well at those institutions. They graduate at high numbers, but more importantly, as you pointed out, our students are getting through college without a lot of debt. They are saving thousands of dollars, and this makes a big difference on the quality of life long term. If you owe $20,000 to $30,000 less when you graduate from college, you can now afford to buy a home earlier on in life, and that makes a big difference to your quality of life as your career progresses, as your family grows. And so we really encourage students to start at City Colleges. Oftentimes our students don't know what exactly they're going to do, and so why pay a whole lot of money at a four-year university when you can take the same courses at City Colleges of Chicago and do so in a way that doesn't lead to a mountain of debt?
What's the trend this year? What are the more popular areas where kids want to study and want to work?
Healthcare is very strong. Our Malcolm X College campus, where we have a virtual hospital, we enjoy a great relationship with healthcare providers all across our city that are hiring our students, where we have nursing and dental hygiene and mortuary science and physical therapy and so many other programs. has been growing at a clip of 8% a year for the last 2 years. But technology is also a field of great interest. We just won a National Science Foundation grant for an engineering pathway, so many students interested in a broad range of engineering occupations. And then you have the logistics industry, transportation, distribution, logistics, probably more jobs in transportation, distribution, logistics than other areas in the economy. And these are specialized occupations, diesel mechanics, these are supply chain management, and other fields that are in growing demand. And so what we do at City Colleges is our program is tied to where there is demand in the industry. We prioritize those areas because we know when our graduates complete, they will have a job, whether they're leaving us directly to go to an occupation or whether they're going on to a four-year university.
Juan Salgado, thanks so much for joining us to tell us about City Colleges of Chicago. Juan Salgado is the chancellor there. This time tomorrow, we'll examine the business of getting into college. Education Week continues. Still ahead today, Personal Finance Wednesday, negotiating your college tuition. WBBM News Time 1225, a check of the markets from Bloomberg, sponsored by Arlington International Racecourse. Here's Elisa Parenti.
We continue to see gains here. The Dow up 102 points, NASDAQ higher by 74 or 1%, and the S&P gaining 15 points. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg has shifted gears, though. It's now lower by a third of a percent. Crude futures gaining to $62.04 a barrel. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Higher grain prices today. We had corn up 10. At the moment, though, we've backed off to only up 2.75 in December at 3.90 and a half. Beans are up 15 to 16 early. We have July's now only up 2.75 at 8.34 and a quarter. And wheat for July at 4.52, up 3 and a half after being up 15 and a half. We're still to the plus side, but we've backed off from the highs. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time 1230. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are gaining ground today. We'll see what's lifting the markets.
Personal Finance Wednesday and Education Week come together as we learn how to negotiate college tuition.
Wrigley Field and other pro sports stadiums in Illinois could become sites for gambling on games.
Chicago police questioned several people about the disappearance of a 19-year-old woman from the city's southwest side.
On Wall Street, the Dow up 105 points. NASDAQ is up 78, and the S&P is up 15. Oil today is up right about a third of a percent.
And we've got flood warnings for portions of the Kankakee and Fox Rivers, mostly sunny today with a high temperature in the 60s. It is 70 degrees at O'Hare.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Markets are higher at this hour. Let's find out what's going on. Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecasts newsletter based in Hammond. Volatility, I guess, is the name of the game over the last couple of weeks.
It sure is, and it's really volatility that's been tied directly to tweets, et cetera, related to the whole trade issue. You know, today we started out a little on the ugly side, and now we're up on the Dow over 100 points, and it seems that the pivot in the market occurred when there was a relaxation or a delay in implementing some auto tariffs. So, you know, this is a market that's really tied to trade and tariff right now. We're through pretty much the corporate earnings season, so the market's, you know, at least not for daily trading, is looking at what impulses are out there, and the biggest impulses, again, is trade wars, et cetera, and that seems to be creating volatility and probably will be for the next several days, if not weeks.
I guess I don't want to say ridiculous, but I can't think of another word now, to make these trading decisions based on a tweet or a news report or, I mean, something that isn't really hard data, because there's been a lot of back and forth day in and day out for months now.
I'll answer it for you. It is ridiculous.
Thank you.
The fact of the matter is, while it's ridiculous, it is still moving markets, at least on a very short-term basis. And again, this is where you start to see the divide between, you know, how people participate in the stock market. Or, you know, if you're an investor, which means you tend to have a longer time frame than lunchtime, then yes, trying to, you know, invest based on this sort of thing, I think, is a fool's errand. On the other hand, if you are a very short-term trader and you're somebody, you know, trading ticks in the market and you're doing that, you know, intraday as well as on a day or two basis, you know, you're looking for impulses that the market's responding to, and that's one of them. So, you know, that's where you really get, again, into the divide in terms of how investors participate. You know, we tend to invest, and so trying to build an investment program around tweets and this sort of thing, I think, is very difficult to do successfully over time, and so we don't.
So the Dow Theory forecast would lead you at this time to do what?
You know, we are still probably about 84-85% invested in stocks in a portfolio where we could be 100% invested. So, you know, we're still holding a bit of cash, not a ton, but a bit of cash. The fundamental backdrop for the market, I think, is still, you know, you have to put it on the bullish side of the ledger. Corporate profits, I think, are still bullish. I think this quarter's profits were strong enough. I think interest rates are still on the bullish side of the ledger, and I think inflation is still on the bullish side of the ledger. The one kind of fly in the ointment from our standpoint and from the Dow Theory standpoint, and it's probably something that your listeners should be watching closely versus, you know, the latest tweet, is, you know, the Dow Jones Transportation Average, which is extremely economically sensitive, has continued to lag here a bit. In fact, it's down about 9.5% from its all-time high, versus maybe 2, 3%, 4% for the other major indices. And history shows that, you know, a lagging transports doesn't necessarily mean the market's going to tank, but it does typically mean that it's difficult for the broad market to sustain a significant move to the upside without help from the transport. So, you know, that's, if somebody's looking for something to watch, you know, watch how the Dow Jones Transportation Average behaves here over the next weeks and months, because that's going to be an important factor in what happens to the broad market.
Is there any place that you see something that you've been wanting to invest in and now appears to be a good time?
Yeah, you know, financials really just haven't really been able to catch much of a bid in a sustained way. And, you know, there are reasons for that. You have, you know, interest rates which have fallen and impacting net interest margins. You've got, you know, the retail data coming out today, I guess, wasn't exactly stellar. And so anytime you get kind of a soft economic data point, that impacts the financials. So, you know, it's a group that doesn't seem to have a lot of friends right now. But I think that there's also value there. And a stock which we own and our clients own, J.P. Morgan, for example, you know, offers pretty good value in that space. You can get decent dividend yield, you're going to get decent dividend growth and reasonable appreciation from these levels. So I think financials have some opportunities, and I think there's some select healthcare stocks which have gotten worked over here. And, you know, every time there's a call for single payer, those stocks seem to go down. But I think there's some opportunities in quality stocks there, such as United Health Group, symbol UNH, another stock we own and our clients own. And I think at these levels on quality stocks like that, sometimes I don't want to say you close your eyes and start to, you know, bite on them, but I think you need to start to take advantage of declines in quality stocks like that. And I think United Health Group is offering one of those opportunities.
What do you make of Macy's? I think a lot of people thought they were going the way of Sears, and they're seeming to really do well.
Well, you know, that's an interesting stock today, and kind of describes kind of what the overriding factor is right now on a day-to-day basis. I mean, you know, they had what appeared to be a pretty good quarter in terms of beating earnings estimates. They had same-store sales numbers, which were higher than expectations, and yet the stock last time I looked was down about 1%. And part of the problem with Macy's is that, you know, they, you know, a lot of the stuff that they sell comes from China. So what are tariffs going to do to that? Also, as nice as their same-store sales were and earnings estimates were, they still had lower sales than they had in the year earlier quarter. So, you know, the overall sales, total sales direction is still going in the wrong direction. And so while I think they are doing better than a lot of brick and mortar retailers, they still have a lot of struggles, and investors are still a little reluctant to really get behind that group. And certainly the companies that are dependent on apparel and other fashion in the brick and mortar space.
Always good to have you on. Great insight. Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter. Up next, Personal Finance Wednesday. You may be surprised to learn college tuition can be negotiated.
A wealth of information for managing your money. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday here on the Noon Business Hour in conjunction with Education Week. We're looking into the money side of college and a way you may reduce the financial burden. We welcome Mark Horner, Wealth Advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management in Oak Brook. Mark, I guess a lot of people assume when you get that financial aid report and they tell you this is how much you're going to pay, a lot of people assume that's that. Is there a way to negotiate this and maybe get a little bit less, get a little more money on the table?
So there absolutely is, Cisco, and I think you hit the nail right on the head that when those acceptance letters start rolling in at home, I think it's a natural knee-jerk reaction to grab that school that you really just accept the offer that they've made you immediately, because that college application process can just be filled with a lot of uncertainty. But it's when that letter arrives at home is your maximum point for negotiation, where the tables have really turned. So instead of you chasing the university or school, the school or university is now chasing you as a student. So that is the time to go back to them and see if they can sweeten the deal. And in most cases, they can.
And how can they? What are some ways that they can sweeten the deal?
So we want to make sure that we understand clearly what some of those financial aid offers are going to include. There's a line called scholarships and grants, and then there's usually another line that talks about student loans. So forget the student loan line. We want to see that scholarship and grant line go up. And so what that is in university speak is basically a discount. And colleges and universities have the ability to push around that discount in all sorts of different ways. And so I would discourage anybody from trying to become an expert on what the various scholarships or grants are. Instead, put it back on the university to ask them how is it that we might be able to make economics less of a decision to get me to be an enrolled student. Because again, I cannot overemphasize this. Universities are very motivated to convert accepted students into admitted students. They even have a term for it, and that is the accepted yield rate. So of all the applications, the acceptances that go out, how many convert to enrolled students? That's the time to strike.
For students who are shy or don't know much about the operation here, how do they get in a situation where they can also pitch in like this?
Yeah, Chris. So I think it's important to enlist a friend. I mean, this is a big college, is a huge financial decision, and so expect a 17, 18, or 19-year-old to navigate that on their own, I think is a mistake. So to enlist the help of mom, dad, aunt, uncle, a financial advisor to the family, to ask those questions of the university. Hey, what can we do? What other opportunities? What other scholarships or grants are out there? If I'm prepared to make a decision, if the school that I'm talking to is my preferred school to go to, based on a wide other variety of factors, not just money, but put it to the school that if you get to this number, then I'm going to be a student in the fall, and let them go back and work the numbers. Again, we've worked with clients on this a number of times, and I think most people would be shocked that schools will come back and find some way to put more money into that scholarship and grant line item and drive down your cost of education.
Good insight. Some tools for parents. Thank you, Mark Horner, Wealth Advisor at Fairhaven Wealth Management. More info on negotiating college tuition is on the front page of Fairhaven's website, fairhavenwealth.com. This time tomorrow, Technology Thursday. Still to come, will Wrigley Field, the United Center, and other sports facilities also become betting parlors?
Buy, sell, listen. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A proposal in Springfield to legalize sports gambling in Illinois includes a provision that would allow professional teams to get a slice of the pie, the betting pie. Let's learn a little more from Greg Hines, columnist at Crain Chicago Business here in Chicago. How does this work, Greg?
Well, there's two. There's an amendment pending that appears to be in pretty good shape, although they're not done with it, that would give two slices, actually. One slice would go to the leagues. It would get a quarter of 1% of the gross wager. So whatever's bet, they'd get a quarter of a penny of each bet, which could amount to some big money. Those would go to the professional leagues. In addition to that, the teams themselves could set up betting windows and betting parlors for on-site betting at their establishments and would have veto authority within any similar establishment within the, within five blocks of the park. So at Wrigley, for instance, if you wanted to bet in person and you wanted to be part of the excitement and get in on the action, you'd have to go to something that's either licensed by, approved by the Cubs or effectively authorized by the Cubs, and you can bet that the team's going to get a slice of it and maybe most of it.
Well, what's the downside here? Who will object?
Well, other people who might want to get into the business might want to object. People who think that sports, mixing sports and betting in the same place is a little too kinky, given the Chicago Black Sox scandal that we had here a century ago and things of that nature. But, you know, the betting is happening all over the world. Everybody's crazy in government now to raise more money, so there's certainly a big push on for this. I'm not guaranteeing it's going to happen. You never know with gambling legislation in Springfield, but with the leagues and the teams involved, they're pushing this pretty hard.
Well, they can just point to horse tracks, right, and say, you know, there is a precedent here for betting at facilities where events are going on.
You're right, but as we all know, there's been a lot of scandals in the horse racing business, you know, here in Chicago, because of betting. Members of the White Sox got paid money to throw games or cut shave points or whatever. This is kind of a dicey area. It has to be done right. But you're right that because the ship has sailed in other places, it seems to be sailing here, too.
Yeah, I see it. Yeah, thanks, Greg Hines. Always good stuff. Greg is a columnist at Crain's Chicago Business. Bloomberg checks the markets next. WBBM News Time 12:55, a check of the markets from Bloomberg. Sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the Dow higher by 136 points now, or more than 0.5%, and the Nasdaq's gains are stretching as well, up more than 1%, or 91 points. The S&P on the advance by 20. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is slightly lower. Bloomberg News reports the Trump administration plans to delay tariffs on imported vehicles for another 6 months. It's a move that could help Volkswagen and BMW and Japan's Honda and Toyota. Investors see a benefit to U.S. companies. Europe had threatened to retaliate, and stock in Ford and General Motors is now higher. When we're booking a flight, the most important consideration is price, according to a Reuters Ipsos poll. And the survey finds the two deadly crashes involving Boeing 737 MAX jets have not changed that. Only 3% of people asked said the plane's maker or model was important to them when buying a ticket. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.